Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Rethink, Refresh, Relaunch. This is Taran Travel, and I'm a retired school teacher who had to pivot ever since we started our pandemic with COVID-19. And this pandemic has caused so many things to be either altered or canceled. In fact, this year I was very sad to hear that the Pan-African Film Festival is completely going to be online this year. Usually in Los Angeles, we have it in a number of theaters, and they have these wonderful celebrations, celebrities come out, but because of COVID, they're now going to be doing it through online, through a website, which I will share with you before our podcast is over. But I'm very excited with my guest, because she is a first-time filmmaker, and I have asked Sybil Jada to talk about her experience with working with the Pan-African Film Festival. Are you on the line, Sybil?
Yes, 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 I am here. I am here, and thank you so much for having me today, Ms. Jones.
So glad to have you on. And so I would have to say, because I always attend the film festival live, what would you say, if you could summarize your experience of working with the PAF, or Pan-African Film Festival, I'll call it PAF.
Yes, you know, we had to do a 45-second shoot of our journey to PAF, and I was so honored that my husband was, you know, the camera operator and director, and we set up this scene to make magic in 45 seconds, which is not a lot of time. But we talked about this journey, and we talked about the fact that we submitted our film project in 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, and we finally got it right. So we finally got this season to actually have our film featured. It was not an easy journey, but we knew that there was something that we had that the world needed to know. And it was worth every obstacle that happened, that occurred in our home. You know, the lights would just shut out. Some vagrants set our garage on fire like a couple of months ago. So I woke up to firemen busting in and, you know, chopping up stuff. And, you know, drains were clogged. And Ayuko Babu, who's the CEO of Pan-African Film Festival, you know, he had a conversation with me. He was like, "We really like your film." This was the first submission. He said, "You need to go back to Africa and get live footage because you have a bunch of talking heads." And I was like, I didn't know what a talking head was because you said I'm a new filmmaker. And so I literally was like, "Babu, do you know what's been happening in my," and he said, "Sybil, when your electricity starts sharding out and your drains start clogging," he goes, "that's the ancestors battling on your behalf. So just know that you're onto something good." So we have stayed the course.
Wow. Well, I want them to know what is the name of your film so that if they sign up to actually see it online, to know which one is yours. So what is the name of your
film? Akwaba, The Awakening. And Akwaba is spelled A-K-W-A-A-B-A, and it's The Awakening. And just for clarification, the word Akwaba is a word used in Ghana, and it means welcome home. And it is the awakening because we were awakened. So Akwaba, The Awakening.
I love it. I love it. So powerful. Okay, so now I know that you started in 2016. What brought you to Africa in 2016? What happened?
Well, you know, KGLH radio show owned by Stevie Wonder, they have an early morning broadcast called The Front Page, and the host is Dominique DePrima. And I was up working early, and I just turned it on to hear what was going on. So Dominique DePrima, her father, Leroy Jones, Amiri Baraka, had recently passed, and he really fought for Pan-Africanism, Africans and African-Americans coming together. And so Dominique was having a moment where she said, "My dad did all of this, and I've never been to Africa. So she partnered with African Focus Inc., and they decided to take a group of African Americans from Los Angeles to travel to the motherland for the first time. So I'm listening to this broadcast, and I had already kind of written on my list things that I really wanted to do, you know, not really a bucket list, but kind of like my next big travel be to Africa. And there she was saying, come go with me to Africa. And so I followed up, and that's how a small group of us went to Africa. We didn't know each other. We just were listeners of the show.
What country did you go to? I mean, Africa's gigantic continent. What country did you guys choose to go to first?
Africa is one of the largest continents in the world, and I tell people you can fit the United States of America inside of Africa three times. And so there are 54 countries in Africa, and they selected Ghana because of the fact that many of our ancestors came from the slave castles in Ghana, since that's where the largest slave castles existed. And that's even where Michelle Obama traced her roots back to Ghana. So they were like, most slaves here on this in the United States, Northern America, came out of Ghana. So that's why we selected that, to just go and have some historical connection about what our ancestors endured, and because those slave castles are still intact. So that's why we selected Ghana.
And so when you got there, how were you received? Was it like a welcome welcome home?
Oh, my God. I don't really have words, because I remember when the flight was landing, and I remember looking, you know, out the window, and I remember just seeing like these very strong African males. You know, they were working with the luggage, but they were working together. Like, I was like, look at how they're working together. Like, everybody's helping each other. You know, somebody had a heavy bag, and somebody else come and help them. And then I saw African women walking tall and proud. And I was just, you know, looking at everything out my window, because everybody's kind of walking around, meandering around. So when we exited the plane, we walked into the entrance of the airport, and there was a huge sign that said Akwaba. And I was like, oh, what? And then somebody was like, Akwaba. And I was like, well, what does that word mean? And they said, welcome home.
Wow.
And that word was my word throughout the trip. I was just so humbled on so many levels of what I thought I would expect traveling to Africa for the first time, and what the reality of it was, seeing people smiling at you, saying, hello, sister, welcome. And I was like, oh, my God, you know. And so I was just moved to a place, like I was awakened. That's all I could say, is that I was awakened. We all were awakened. We were all taken aback by how they welcomed us with so much love. Yeah.
And I've heard that from other friends that have traveled either to South Africa or Nigeria or even another country. I've heard that, that everybody has said they felt that way. So how long were you there the first time that you went in 2016? How long were you there?
The trips usually run about a 2-week window. You know, you travel, you land, you have schedules, you know, they're taking you on these tours of different places that are so amazing and so rich with, that give you so much knowledge. So it's usually like a 2-week trip.
Okay. So 10-day, 2-week, 14 days, something like that. Okay.
Yeah, 14 days.
So then when you got back, did you immediately say, I'm going to do a film? I'm going to make a film about this experience because it moved me.
No. You know, I was doing a play called Billie Holiday Front and Center, and we had world premiered it in South Pasadena. And when I left that production and just headed straight to Africa. And once I was in Africa, my roommate, Dolores, who was like 75 at the time, I'm feeling something stirring in me, like I want to write. So she was like, well, then write, Rumi. And I was like, well, I'm not here to write. I'm here to relax and enjoy and take it all in. But I found myself journaling. And then I found songs that came into my spirit. And I would you know, be in the shower and a song would just come out of me and I would go, oh my God, a song. And I go, maybe it's a musical. She was like, sing it. And I was like, I forgot. Let me go back in the shower. You know, let me go back and figure it out. So I was writing and song singing in my phone all the time, these little tunes. And then when I came back to L.A., the Leimert Readers Theater Festival called me, like literally the next day after I got back. And they said, we heard about your show, and we want you to bring your show to this Readers Theater Festival. And I said, which show? And they said, the Billie Holiday show. And I said, well, I don't know, because we've already world premiered it, and I don't know if people want to come and see me sitting on a stage reading a script, you know. But I said, there's another show that I'm working on since I've had this trip to Africa. And so they were like, well, do that show. And I'm like, oh, no, mm-hmm. It's not ready. It's not ready. There's no title. There's nothing. It's just journaling and stuff. So they were like, get it ready, Sybil. You can do it. So this was in July, and the theater festival opened in August. It went from like the first weekend of August to the first weekend of September. And so the stage manager is calling me literally the next day asking me questions like, well, what's the name of your show? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know the name. And she was like, well, I need to put a title because I'm the stage manager. And I know she thought I was like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I said, well, I know that there was a word. Everybody would say Aquaba, and that meant welcome home. And I said, and we were awakening. We were awakened. I said, so Aquaba, the awakening. And she was like, are you sure? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, how many people are in the show? And I said, well, there's going to be a lot, probably about 25. She said, will there be a band? I said, yes. So make that 30. So in her mind, she's thinking, what type of stage do we have that's going to accommodate like 30 people? You know, where are we going to put 30 people on a stage? So I just was like, that's what I'm thinking, like 30. So I literally like sat down, called the Trailblazers, which is what we called ourselves, called people and said, anybody wants to be a part of this journey, let me know. I'll write you in to this script because I'm writing.
Wow.
And so the people that wanted to be a part of, I wrote their monologues. I wrote their stories. I wrote about them. They gave me little nuggets. And well, you know, and I was really – so we wrote it. I wrote it, and then we rehearsed it in my house because the stage manager was so done with me not having a clue about anything. She was like, well, I'm setting up rehearsal schedules now, and I'm like, well, I'll do it at my house, you know. So I had all these people in my house rehearsing, and we performed on September the 6th, I believe, or September the 4th. In 2016, we had a packed audience, and in the audience were African from Africa and African-Americans all together at the Barbara Morrison Theater in Leimert Park. And Dominique DePrima was our host, and we did an after the play, we did a Q&A. And the people were so moved with the play. They laughed with us. They cried with us. They just went on this journey with us from getting packed to go to Africa to arriving to just the journey that we experienced. And once they did that, they were like, what are you going to do next? Sybil, what are you going to do with this? And I was like really done. Terry, I was done. I said, well, I'm really done. I wrote it. We got it up on stage. We done some African dance. We sang. I'm really done. You know, I'm tired. I'm done. And they were like, no, you can't be done. So James Burks walks up to the stage. He was like, do you know how many people that I know that have been to Africa and they've had these experiences and they always say they're going to do something and they do nothing? Sybil, this is the greatest play I have seen in my life. You must do something.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm.
And you were sitting there like, what? Burke just said, this, my play is the greatest play. And this man lives for theater and seeing plays for, I was like, what? So somebody said, dude, you need to do a documentary. And do a documentary film and put it on, do it so that everybody can see it around the world. And that's easier said than done because I didn't have a camera. I didn't have a clue. I was just like, oh, my God. So I took it I took the ball, I bounced it, I rolled it around, and
good.
I started. I deflated it, I inflated it.
I did doing films. This was your first experience doing a film. You've done plays, but not films.
I've done plays, I've written plays, and the only film that I did was I took a boot camp with Richard Lawson. You know, Richard, he's married to Tina Knowles,
exactly.
And they have their own theater.
Exactly.
And he put us through a boot camp, and he said, you guys are going to learn just some basic filmmaking 101. So I had to produce a five-minute short film, but that was
okay.
So many years ago. You know, and even, like, the equipment that I had, because I was like, I still have a camera, and that camera was so outdated. I took it to Sam. They said, ma'am, just throw this away. You can't even fix this. Like, it's done. You don't even – nobody's even using film anymore. They're using CD cards. You know, I was like, what? You know, so that was that. But, yeah, I'd done a five-minute short, and I entered it into some short film festivals. But then I was pretty much, like, done with that. And I just moved on. So to do from a five-minute short to a full 90-minute feature, it's like,
wow.
Huge.
I could just imagine. I could just imagine. Well, then how did you – I know that when he saw it, that was when he said you had a lot of talking heads because you probably had a lot of interviews, but
yes.
You didn't have the essence of Africa. And so you decided to go back to Africa.
Yes, against everything in me, it was like, back to Africa, yes.
But what is so special is when you went, that changed your whole life.
My entire life. Need I dare
so
say.
What happened?
I met the love of my life. I met my king, my wind, my soulmate. On the other side of the world. And I was not even planning to go in because our initial trip was to Ghana. And when the group was just going to be a one and done, like we went to Ghana, we're done. We went to Africa. And then the next year when Ayuko Babu said, you got to go back to Africa. I'm thinking, how can I afford? How can I go? It's not around the corner. My group is not going anymore. It was like a one and done. So Dominique announced again in January of that next year, 2017, that they had such an epiphany of life that they were going to go again. So I'm like, great. Let me let them know I'm still filming. I need to go back to Africa. I need to go back to Ghana to film all of the places that everybody that we'd interviewed talked about so I can just, you know, have those places like you're talking about this and here is this and I'm showing it. So that was my goal. However, the next trip was not back to Ghana. It was Ethiopia, it was Senegal, and it was Gambia. And I was like, I don't need to be in any, I need to be in Ghana. So they kept saying, Sybil, you know, we're going to do Ethiopia and just stay with us a couple of days. And then they were like, we're going to go to Gambia. And I said, I don't want to go to Gambia. I want to go to Ghana. And they said that's where Kunta Kinte and Alex Haley and Roots, and that's where all of that emanated from. So you've got to go capture that. Just do 2 days in Gambia. And then we'll get you to Senegal, Mali, and then we'll shoot you straight to Ghana. And it was in Gambia, West Africa, that I met my husband and soulmate. Yeah.
Wow. And that was not even planned. So you went over there as a single woman? Single woman and
yes.
Came back
with
a husband. Wow.
You know, not so quickly, because I was just in film mode, but, he's here to say hello to the podcast. King?
Hello, everyone. How are you all doing? It's nice to be part of this session. And all I could say is that I'm so proud of my wife and for her to have this opportunity to share about her film and her experience to Africa, you know, I believe it's very inspirational, and I'm sure that she's going to be inspiring a lot of people out there, especially the African-Americans in this country. So once again, we thank you all. on our behalf and on behalf of the Trailblazers that were with my wife during this journey from America to Africa, you know. And I believe there's going to be more experiences right after this pandemic, because I know there will have been more visits like from last year, but due to the pandemic, you know, most of it has been stopped, and it seems like it's going to be the same this year. But hopefully next year things will change, and it will give an opportunity to the listeners, especially those that have not experienced it, to be able to have the opportunity to experience it, because there's a lot of things to see out there. And I know that, they will never, ever regret those experiences. So thank you so much once again. My name is Raul F. Jata, and I'm Sibyl D. Jata's husband from The Gambia, West Africa. Thank you all.
I love it. I love it. So good to hear you, King, and welcome. Welcome to America.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast with your wife. You little newlyweds. But what I want to say, so how are people going to be able to see this film? I'm like so excited. When does it start?
Address, so PATH.org, and you go on PATH.org and you can start buying tickets on Friday, which is tomorrow. And the festival runs from this Sunday through March 14th. And so how they've set it up is you go on, you can buy a single ticket, which costs $8.49. I don't know how they reach the 49 cents part, but $8.49. And that will give you access to our film to view it for a 48-hour window. You can see it as much as you want, share it, sit with your family because it's a family-friendly film. And then you have 48 hours to watch it. I think it's just like if you order something offline or a film, you know, they grant it to you for 2 days and then it goes away. So that's how it's set up. So they can go to PATH.org and purchase tickets.
And that's
P-A-F-F.
That's
P-A-F-F. Yes, P as in Paul, A as in Apple. Frank, yeah, .org.
Frank. Okay.
We also have a web. We have a production company. It's called Champion Club Productions. So they can also check out our website, Champion Club Productions. There's a trailer for the film. There's more information, detailed information about our journey, and the information, PATH.org, and how to get to our film is also there. So we are just beyond excited with us finally getting the green light to showcase our film. And it's virtual now, so literally – people all over the world can see our film. It's not just limited to people here in Los Angeles, like when they usually have the festival here, you know, people are here. But now people can tune in from, you know, I have friends in Chicago. We have friends in Africa. We have people all over the country ready for our movie. Yes.
And that's what is actually an advantage to things being online. I mean, even though we haven't liked the pandemic, there has been some good that has come out of it. And this is one of the things. I mean, I missed the production part, but the fact that you can have this all over the world is phenomenal.
Yeah. And that it's flexible. Like you can have the film for a two-day window. So people in Africa, you know, they have different time zones. So you can watch it at your convenience, you know?
Exactly. That is so exciting. So what would you say to those young filmmakers trying to get their film seen? I mean, you went through a number of years and did a lot to make yours happen. What would you say to those young filmmakers that are hoping to get their films seen?
Well, I always say, like, from a documentarian, you know, we come from a place of we're revealing a truth to our audiences, you know. We're sharing some new knowledge, opening the eyes of people. And so when you're passionate about that, you can never quit. I always say a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. So you always have to have that foundation and that vision that there's going to be one yes. I remember Tyler Perry saying the story, like, you can have 50,000 no's, but when you get that one yes, so this is our yes. This is our yes moment. So we're just fired up and ready to go. So I'm a woman of faith. My scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That lives in my soul. So no matter what is happening, no matter that the lights went out, the garage caught on fire, my husband and I both got COVID. So we just survived that last month. So the challenges and the obstacles have been horrific, but we hold on to our faith, we pray, and we know that this documentary is going to open the eyes to the world. And just recently, Stevie Wonder announced that he's thinking about relocating to Ghana with his family because he has been awakened. That's big.
Wow.
That's recent news.
That is.
Like they were talking about it yesterday. And I said, whoa, that's pretty amazing.
It is. And I really hope that from this film, that afterwards people are going to be considering that as a place to visit. Like you just came out of the blue. I don't know if they'll be
yes.
fortunate to find a spouse, but hey, at least to go for the experience.
Don't go
and the awakening.
For a spouse. That's something that should happen naturally. You know, I didn't go seeking nothing. I was like, oh my God, look what you've done, you know? So I know it's like 31 minutes after the time. I don't know if we're in trouble.
We are down to the last 2 minutes. But I just wanted to say thank you to both you and your king for getting on the call, joining us on the podcast, to say, you know, just thank you for taking the time. Once again, the name of your film, can you say it again one more time?
Akwaba, The Awakening.
Exactly. Akwaba, The Awakening. People can get tickets by going to PAFF, PAFF.org, and they can purchase the tickets and see all of the films that are going to be in the Pan-African Film Festival.
Yes.
Starting tomorrow, which is February the 26th, and going all the way through March the 14th.
Yes.
But the films, I don't think, start until the 28th,
March
which is 1st. Sunday.
Yeah,
March
the films
1st,
actually kick off on Monday, March, because the opening day is
all
the opening ceremonies and all the stuff that they're doing.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, they're still doing their big opening night gala and all that stuff, yeah.
Great. So once again, I want to thank both of you as my guest. I'd also like to thank our audience for tuning in.
Yes,
and
thank
this
you
is Taran
so
Travel. I like to always end my call by saying, make a difference every day in some way. So this is Taran Travel signing off. This is Rethink, Refresh, Relaunch. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye.